Oh yeah. As it's 7 p.m. already, I want to welcome everybody who has joined in up until this point. However, I would still like to wait like about 5 minutes. Lazarus, are you ready?
I should be ready, but I'm not so sure whether
Yep,
you have the latest
I can hear
presentation.
you
Ah, okay. Welcome, Nandi. I'm glad you made it. So
Yes,
I
I'm
can.
here, but do you have the latest presentation? That is the
Yeah,
question.
I have the latest presentation. So I think we're all set now. And I'm glad you made it.
Okay.
To the audience, please excuse the delay. As you might have figured, we faced some technical issues, unfortunately. But we are here and ready now to start off. So thank you so much for being here tonight. We welcome you to the third session regarding the German-Namibian genocide negotiations. Tonight's panelists will discuss the socioeconomic impact of the 1904 till 1908 genocide on the Herero and the Nama people. And indeed, time is pressing. Next Tuesday, on the 7th of September, the so-called joint agreement, which has been negotiated between and the Namibian government, will be tabled in the Namibian parliament. Tonight's speakers will discuss this matter and give us some details on the socioeconomic impact today, which is caused by the aftermath of the genocide from 1904 till 1908. Today's presenters are the leader of the OGF, the Overherero Genocide Foundation, Nandi Mazengu, and the Resource Mobilization Officer of the NTLA, the Nama Traditional Leaders Association, Lazarus Kairabep. Asima Luipert, the leader of the NTLA, is unfortunately not available due to health reasons. Lazarus Kairabep will take over part tonight. Following the format of the last 2 weeks, there will be a Q&A at the end of this session. So to all of those who are in the audience right now, please do feel free to post any question you may have into the Zoom chat, and we will then pass the questions on to the panelists once they are done presenting. So if you're ready, I think we can start off. The first person who will present is Nandi Mazengu, the leader of the Overherero Genocide Foundation. Nandi, the floor is yours, and I will open up the presentation for you.
Okay, good evening, friends of the struggle. Good evening to Herero people and Nama people in Namibia, but also in the diaspora. Of course, as introduced, I'm Nandi. I'm the chairperson of the Herero Genocide Foundation, and I come to you from Windhoek, Namibia this evening. Of course, I have a very easy task, and that is really to talk to you about the case of a hunter who went out to hunt for a kudu and returned with what I would even say barely nothing. But I think even more preposterous is that this hunter refuses to admit that he came back with nothing. So that is the task that I would set out to prove tonight. So basically, it is a conversation about the socio-economic impact of the 1904-1903 genocide on the Herero and Nama people, the legacy that it left on our community, because this is a heinous crime that took place more than 120 or so years back. But we, as of Herero and Nama people, still continue to live the legacy of that time and the legacy of that criminal act committed against our people in their own land. So if we could just set off to the next slide. Next slide, please. Yes, like I said, we have a case of a people. Actually, this is not even a hunter who was assigned by that community to hunt for that community. It's a hunter who basically wrestled that role onto himself to the exclusion of the people themselves, but then went out and really performed dismally. She aimed for a kudu and came back with nothing. Am I audible? Can I be heard in the room? This matter refers to the negotiation. This is a metaphor for what transpired in the negotiations between the Namibian and German government, where, of course, the Ovaherero and Nama people, as the people who were targeted by the Genocidal Act of 1904, expressed through an extermination order sanctioned by the German state. Number one, there were a number of things that we want justice, and we have always wanted justice. But I think what gave impetus to this last process is the 2006 parliamentary motion, which was adopted by the Namibian parliament unanimously, and which called for basically three things. Number one is the proper admission of guilt to the crime of genocide by the perpetrator, the state of Germany. Number two is the direct involvement of the targeted communities to represent themselves and their interest. And then thirdly is the agreement to redeem on the German side, to redeem their wrong through payment of reparations. I think we all know, looking at the agreement or looking at the joint declaration, which is the result of the negotiation process that has taken place over a good, 8-9 years, over so many rounds, that none of these things were achieved. There are those who continues to fool themselves, particularly in government circles, who continue to say, for instance, there is an admission of guilt to the crime of genocide. The truth of the matter is that there is none of that. The German government had flatly refused to admit that what they have done is a genocide. In fact, they are playing with words and they are saying it's genocide only in today's terms, meaning they are denying that it was a genocide at the time of its commissioning and execution. So number one, the first goal which was set in the parliamentary motion was not met. Germany has not admitted guilt to genocide as a crime, not as a moral and political construct, because of course, those literally means nothing, because we need guilt to those things. You can play around with words and then, because then there's culpability and liability that are closed. Because a crime, you admit guilt to a crime, a penalty follows. And a penalty for the crime of genocide has long been defined internationally. And that crime, that penalty is already reparations. So the fact that we are getting, that the Handa have not really delivered reparations to us, price. Because the Handa did not secure admission of guilt to the crime. So that is why we ended up with a mouse, which is manifesting itself in what they are calling project financing, reconstruction, reconciliation, and all these terms that really means nothing to us as a people. And as a people, sadly, who have not even sanctioned this Handa, but of course, the people for whom the things that his collection is brought home for. Okay, so that is one. So that is where we are. This is why we are saying there is a vast difference between what the Handa, the negotiator, set out to achieve for us and what they deliver to us. And of course, as a people, because it's not what we asked for, we reject it. And we are saying not in our name, because number one, we have not sanctioned the Handa. Number two, what is delivered is not what we asked for. So that's where we are. Can we move to the next slide, please? The question, I think on this slide, we want to talk about why the two communities actually, because there is a whole debate, particularly again in government circles, in this project of trying to wrestle this struggle away from the two people who were targeted and dispossessed in the act of genocide. There is the question of, you know, because that whole project is trying to, or is claiming that, you know, this was just a Namibian process, so everybody else is also involved. And we are saying no, there were two people whom the arrivals or the guests, not really the guests because they were not invited, but there were two people whom the Germans targeted, and there was a particular reason why it was those two groupings. Because if you can look at that map, you see in the heart, or at the heart of it, you see Herr Roland, and then in the southern part, you see Great Namaqualand. And these probably represented two-thirds of the landmass of present-day Namibia. And so there was a reason why the Germans actually thought they need to get through these two communities before they can really, you know, claim to the territory they later on called German Southwest Africa. They saw these two people as expendable before you can gain access to the riches of Namibia. And so that map really tells the story of who were these two people, these two sovereign nations, you know, that governed this country back then. And so that in that map, you get the answer why we were singularly isolated and targeted by the Germans for them to lay full control over the territory. Next slide. The next slide, as it comes, will tell you also what happened after the war. That slide was the land that was owned by those two people, the Namas and the Hereros. And this map tells you what actually, you know, came out on the other side post the war. That is after our people have been decimated, in the case of the Herero by 80-90%, and in the case of the Namas by 50%. So this is what we were left with. So again, we are talking of that impact of that genocide, how we lost land, and of course, us knowing that land is really the source of livelihood to our people. Those are the small pockets that we were left with after that war. So that is that picture. Can we move on to the next slide? Of course, as a consequence of that war, there were many things that were taken from us by the Germans. Land rights, I've just shown you the picture of what we owned before the war and what we were left with post the war time. So land rights were taken, personal properties, of course, our cattle, livestock, these were all taken. And interestingly, these were not done by individuals or people just acting, you know, out of their own volition, but these were state sanctioned actions. Ordinances were passed to expropriate all tribal land of Hereros and Namas, to expropriate all their cattle and literally everything we owned. So these were done through state processes. It's not just things that somebody can say, look, somebody was just misbehaving and it was not a state process. These were all state sanctioned processes. Yeah, so we lost land rights. We lost rights to the properties we owned. We lost concession rights because this country has always, or there were minerals that were discovered in our areas. We never got the benefits of them. People were taxed as things, you know, got into Namibia. Of course, there were borders, customs, duties were levied, all of that. We lost that. We lost sovereignty related property rights. The things we owned as a sovereign people, those were taken away from us. labor rights, because our people, especially at the time when they were rounded up after the war and actually thrown into concentration camps, they were forced to work for free, you know, without compensation. So our rights to demand, you know, compensation or reward for our labor were taken away. But also more barbaric, I should even say, especially as a consequence of processes that were taking place in concentration camps, where women and other people were asked to, you know, as you know, people were dying and some of them were beheaded. Our people, our mothers, our sisters had to boil those heads and you know, take off the skins from the skulls and all of that. So we lost all of those things, our body parts that ordinarily must be laid to rest in a dignified manner were taken away from us, and they were shipped off to Europe for some pseudo scientific experiments. The skulls, the flesh, the brains, the hair, and other mortal remains of our people. Some of it have returned in the many, many rounds of tedious negotiations we had with various groups who hold these remains of our people. Some of them were returned, but still we hear continues to litter museums in the Northern Hemisphere. So all of that were taken away from us. The corpses of our family people, some were thrown into the ocean. They were fed onto sharks, particularly the notorious concentration camps of Shark Island and many others. So these were all rights that Germans took away from us, and that they had none right to do so whatsoever, you know? So that's what was taken away from us. And let's move on. Next slide, please. Yeah. And and so again, as a consequence of particularly the 1903, 1904, 1908, genocide war. Like I said, in the case of Hereros, there are estimates, one that comes from Commissioner of the Cape Colony, William Pogba, who have estimated Hereros by 1903 to have been around 140,000. So after that war, nearly 90,000 of them had gone or had perished. They were killed. They didn't just disappear on their own. They were deliberately targeted and killed through a publicly pronounced state policy, which is the extermination order, that they must be hunted down and killed. Those who were not killed through the barrel of the gun, they were driven into dry, thirsty lands so that they can die there. Those who found water wells, the water wells were poisoned. So that is early German biological and chemical weaponry already at that time. Of course, again, in terms of the Nama population, there was an estimate. The Nama polity, of course, it was established around 1858, and they were about 20,000 of our Nama people. After that war, the genocidal campaign of the Germans, there were only 50% of them left. So 10,000 out of the 20,000 were killed. So these are lives that were taken again by Germany. So can we go to the next slide? And of course, one, you cannot really put a value to lives. Even as you talk of reparations, you can't really say this life was worth 10,000 or 3,000. So those were lives that were taken. But I earlier on spoke to the land that between the two communities, the two sovereign states, because I want to call them states, because in political science, a state is only a people and a territory over which that people, you know, exercises sovereignty. Or the right to rule. And that's what those two nation states were. the great Damaqualand and the Hirovahiriro or Heroland. This constituted up to almost 2/3 of present day Namibia. All of that was taken away. The livestock of the Hereros, particularly the cattle, which they had really headed for millenniums, you know, for thousands of years. That was also taken, but it was not even taken at night. It was taken through daylight, through state policies. Ordinances were passed by the German state to say, we are going to do this. And they did just that. So that again was taken from us. Can we move to the next slide? So now, given all of those losses, what is the consequence of all of those losses? Of course, if you if you kill people or if you decimate them from a whopping, 140,000 strong in 1903, 1904, God knows how many there would have been today, you have obviously diminished the political and economic power of that grouping. Because in politics, especially in democracies, it is a game of numbers. If you don't have numbers, then your proximity to power is actually, is diminished. And because you don't win representation in an electoral process, you don't get to say much. And if you don't get to say much, you don't control, if you're not in charge of the political, levers of the state, you don't control the distribution of resources. And so ultimately, you are at the mercy of those who controls those things. So we lost economic and political power. That is why, for instance, we even in our parliamentary system, the parties that really draws following from our grouping, the Hereros and the Namas, probably the two of us combined, of course, we would come a good close to 30, 40%, maybe we are put together. Yeah, but I think it is a direct consequence of that war, because we have become a minority in a system where, had it not been for that war, we would probably have been either a majority or close to it. The second consequence of that loss, particularly as relates to those who fled the territory and ended up in far off lands, the communities that fled, and then they had families that died, and now we have, diasporan communities flourishing, not really flourishing, but diasporan communities that found themselves in foreign lands where other influences actually got some of them to lose both cultural and linguistic identities. So it is a consequence of that war as well, that we now have over Herero people in some parts of the diasporan community who, yes, remember or identifies with Herero identity, but cannot even speak the language, and so many other things that are associated with being Muherero and Nama. And then there is, of course, intergenerational poverty. This one is a real one for so many of us. Many of us, young of Herero and Nama people today, when you start your job, you would have to buy basically from, the mattress that you're gonna sleep on, the fork that you're gonna, the cutlery in your kitchen, everything you have to buy from afresh, because there is nothing for you to start on, as a basis. It is not the same, for instance, in the white German settler communities, because they are the people who took, the inheritances from those who took it from, because our parents' wealth was looted by their parents And so it was transferred to them as inheritance. So they inherited wealth, we inherited poverty. So this is what I'm talking about when I talk of intergenerational poverty. Many of these kids, as you go to school, from German and Africana communities, already in high school, they own vehicles because already there are plans. Wealth has been looted and is already in the family. On our side, wealth have been lost. And what is in the family is just poverty to be transferred from one generation to the other. Yeah. And then, of course, there are other issues that actually are related to that. The level of education that you, as a herero and nama child on the side, would receive is quite inferior, because often it is a public sector education. Your income, based on that education that you get, you're probably also likely to get jobs where you will not be well compensated or remunerated. All of those things, community safety, social support, all of these things are absent in our communities, but they are present in the communities that disadvantaged us, particularly the German settler community and the African settler communities. Maybe we move on to the, of course, we know that genocide, even the UN, when it codified it as a crime in 1948, through the UN Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, it said it is one of the terrible, impact on any community. That violence that it unleashes on the people is one that takes, that cuts across generation for a people to really, emerge and recover fully from it. Next slide. Exactly. This I ask whether we had the right presentation. I think this is not the right slide. But anyway, again, this slide really speaks to that figure of 72 billion should actually be 1.5 trillion. We hear that is the rumor, because the Namibian government was never sanctioned by us as the Ovaherero and Nama people to negotiate on our behalf. So we never had a platform where we discussed these figures in an open forum and agreed on them. But the rumor is that they started off in the negotiations with the Germans with 1.5 trillion, but they ultimately came home with 0.5%, which is 18 billion, depending on which rate, exchange rate you are using. And that too, worst of all, is to be paid over a period of 30 years. So that 19 billion is even to be broken down into very smaller pieces. And of course, that figure of 19 billion, which for instance in Namibia here, is equivalent to the budget of just the Ministry of Education in 1 year. It's a figure that we reject wholly and roundly, because I have just spoken to what was taken away from us. And just to speak to how disingenuous and how not faithful to the struggle the Handa is, they apparently started with $1.5 trillion as a demand, but they settled for $1 billion. So that just tells you that there is no seriousness in the Handa. And of course, on the other side, the German government, which only wants to project itself as this good, former colonizer that is now facing up to its past, which is actually not the case, which is just a lie, if I should call it that. Yeah. So that figure to us is a serious insult, and it's of no consequence, because again, like I said, we never sanctioned the Namibian government to speak for us, because as I said at the beginning, these were two sovereign people who were targeted in their own right, because the Germans at the time recognized their sovereignty. That is why they signed protection agreements with us as sovereign people. And so it is a history that is truly about us. And if the governing majority was sincere and wanted to speak on our behalf, they would have, through the many election cycles that they have contested, they would have asked us for a mandate. SWAPO, which is the governing majority in this country, has never asked for that mandate, and they have never obtained that mandate for us. And so whatever nonsense they have delivered here is it's of no consequence to us. And this is why, again, we speak to the German population particularly to remind their government that if they so wish to waste their money on giving it to the Namibian government so that it can just be expended like the other program, you know, what was called the German Special Initiative, if that's what they want to waste their money, fine, go ahead. This 1 billion is an insult to us, and we do not accept it, and we'll continue to pursue justice, real justice, until it's delivered to us on our own terms, in our own defined language. Yeah, can we move on to the next slide, please? Yeah, and again, of course, this mouse that was delivered, it has some conditions. One of them is that the aid, basically, this is aid, because I have said, and again, I want to speak to those in government circles who continues to go into our communities and tell them mistruths, that this discussion or this document is about reparations, that it indeed is not about reparations. This is an aid package delivered to Namibia over a period of 30 years. That really has nothing to do with the issues, because again, unless you get genuine, unfettered admission of guilt to the crime of genocide, you will not be talking of reparations, because the two are intrinsically linked. One is a penalty for the other. So that is because Germany, and because I'm saying this again to so-called political leaders here, who I don't know whether they're illiterate or they, because of the politics of the belly, they choose to stick their heads in the sand and really deny the truth, who continues to say that there is apparently reparation in this agreement. There is no such a thing as this. This is aid. Germany has consistently said they are not paying reparations. Even in their own foreign minister is on record saying this. They are saying they are only delivering this aid package or this amount as a token of, or as a good gesture or something. I don't even know what it is. They know what it is, apparently to heal wounds. While they are saying that, they are denying the crime. And of course, they are denying the crime because they know that once you admit to the crime, you then have the liability to pay reparations. So they came up with this, and they have divided this into small pieces that will be paid over 30 years, which basically, in our own calculations, if you put the Herero and Nama populations together, and that is assuming that that amount would even reach our communities, which we know it would not. Basically, this is now, if you put that amount and you divide it against the total population of the two groupings, you would actually end up with each person getting something like 160 Namibian dollars a month. And that would translate into about 2,000 Namibian dollars per head over those 30 years. Now we are looking at, and we were comparing this to even the old pensioners who in Namibia, they get about 1,300 Namibian dollars a month. If you take that over a period of 30 years, those people are actually getting something like, of course, for the 30 years, a year for each head between the two communities, the Namas and the Hereros. If you take this 160 per month per year, each person would actually get $2,000. But if it's over 30 years, each person will get about 60,000, Namibian dollars per person over those 30 years. But if you look at the pensioners over those 30 years, the amount of the money that we give to our people here, they will get almost $500,000, you know? And it's even if you go to the veterans grants, which is money that is paid to a select group, but money that is collected from everybody in this country, including the victims of this genocide. Yeah. I think somebody is moving a bit too fast with these numbers. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I'm glad we have the right presentation now. Yeah. So these are the figures here that we were talking about. That if you say, yeah, I've already spoken to that. But anyway, what we are saying is that the veterans, for instance, who in Namibia, and the veterans I'm talking to, those who apparently fought so bravely in the battle or in the liberation struggle, something which came almost 40, 50 years after the genocide, what they get, first you get $50,000 per head, and then each one of these so-called veterans also qualifies for a project worth 200,000, and then they each get about $2,200 a month. And then they stand line in all kinds of government projects or programs. They are first in the land settlement program, and I deliberately call it settlement because it's not a resettlement. It settles people who were never on those pieces of land. So it is a settlement program rather than a resettlement program. They stand first in those lines. They stand first when it comes to fishing quarters and all of those things. So that's what they get. Their total package over that 30 years would be 842,000 per head for the veterans. But for the Hereros and the Namas who were killed through the first genocide of the 20th century, what they get through what is delivered to us by these two governments, what they get over that period is a mere 60,000. So this is the stark contrast between what is delivered for one group by the same government and what is delivered by the same government, you know, and because it's the Namibian government that delivered the veterans grants, and it's the Namibian government without our sanctioning that now wants to deliver this nonsense for us. We reject it. So if we could move on to the next slide. I think, of course, given all those losses that we have suffered, but I think there was also another, can we go back a little? There was a slide where this agreement to me stands out, this one. No, not this one, the language that says it is the final settlement. Sorry. It is the final settlement. That to me is really, there is language, I think it is point 20 that says all of that which Germany offers, it is apparently the final settlement, and nobody else, be it now, be it in future, be it in heaven or hell, is allowed to ever claim anything. That to us is the biggest insult. And I ask those who negotiated this dismal, dismal product for us, who gave them the right to say they should be the last generation to speak to this issue? All of us, as we stand here, we stand on the shoulders of generations before us. Imagine those who came before us had said they are the very last people to speak to this issue. Where would we be standing today? So I am honestly appalled by such betrayal thinking that a people who knows very well, and many of these government ministers who've gone into our villages telling lies, many of them, they are the first ones to admit that this product is not good. Yet they want to force it down the throats of our people. So I'm asking them, who told them, if they so, you know, deem it that they do not have the ammunition to continue the struggle, who told them that they should be the last ones to speak to it? what happened to the option of saying perhaps the conditions today are not suitable for us to wait us to conclude our struggle? Let us bequeath it to those to come after us. So for me, it is the biggest betrayal, the language of saying, and I know many people have said it was a difficult assignment for those who negotiated. I just don't see any difficulty. Honestly, I don't. I just see a people who were not serious about this thing. A government, number one, when this motion, or when this issue was being talked about, we had a government that was not interested, that was indifferent. And that is why at one point they said there would just be a referee, which is actually what we wanted. But then they said that, not in good faith, but they said that thinking that it will come to nothing anyway. Then when they saw that discussions were beginning to pick up, that's when they came running only for the money. And for this government and its leaders and its functionaries, all that matters is just the money. If they can get 1,000 out of it, 2,000 out of it, it's fine. It does not matter to them the blood that was spent, the land that was lost, all the wealth that was looted. Yeah. And so I think that is in a nutshell. If we could just go to the last slide for me to wind up. I know that there's a colleague who will have to pick up the discussion now. So basically, the last slides, please. I spoke to that already, but if we could just go to the very last one for me to wind up, just to say really, for us, those losses that we suffered, we will continue to chase the Germans. We have done this through the American legal system. Many people would not want to admit it, but in our view is what got the Germans to the table to sit. We will continue to go to every place and talk to anybody who cares to listen until justice is delivered to us. We continue to engage the United Nations. We'll continue to mobilize and activate all our contacts around the world so that wherever the Germans goes, they are asked, where is the justice for Herero and Nama people? Not only in Namibia, but also those in the diaspora, because you can't have an agreement that is dictated to by the perpetrator, where the perpetrator says, I'm only gonna pay so much, an agreement that fails to recognize some of the looted, wealth that still sits in the hands of the perpetrator and his heirs, both in Germany and in Namibia, an agreement that is silent about communities who've been displaced into far off lands. It does not talk about their natural rights to repatriation and all those things, So we as the, and I said, I'm speaking as a chairperson of OGF, there are two bodies that are the legitimate representatives of our people. That is of a Herero Traditional Authority and the Nama Traditional Leaders Association. These two bodies commands following of well over 80, 90% of the targeted communities. And so until anybody speaks directly to those two structures, respective governance structures of our people, I tell you, it is all an exercise in futility. This is an agreement or a joint declaration that solves nothing. In fact, it is a document that only creates division and chaos in our society. Yeah. Okay. I think I for now would rest my case and await questions from the House. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. So for those who have joined in later, this was Nandi Mazengu, the chairperson of the OGF of the Oro Herero Genocide Foundation. Thank you so much to those who have already put in some questions. We will ask them after the next speaker has presented. So the next person who will present is Lazarus Kairabib. He is a representative of the NTLA, the Nama Traditional Leaders Association. Okay, so if you're ready, Lazarus, then the floor is yours. Lazarus, can you unmute yourself? I think you're still muted, so we can unfortunately not hear what you. Ah, now I can
Okay,
hear you.
here I am. Sorry.
No
Yes,
worries.
thank you, Najem, for the introduction and the methodological background given by my colleague Nandi to the matter of genocide and associated losses to the victim communities. I shall just take off from the options open to us internationally that we consider invoking to bring us to a state of remedy if all else is not heard. We consider this in the form of a petition for relief. Now, if you have my presentation, Nadja, could you please go to the first page of, I think, it starts with, in light of the current posture of the New York action. I think that that presentation was sent over to you maybe very late, and I see that the number does not match what we have on our screens, but I think it starts with, in light of the current posture of the New York action.
Unfortunately, I'm afraid this is the only presentation I have received up until this point.
Okay, I think under that one it would start from page 13, I suppose.
Is it this one?
Oh my. No, I think the remedy, I think you should go back still. It starts with, in line with the current posture of the New York action, the continued rejection and the unanswered pleas on the German and Libyan governments, the moral, political, and legal incapacity of the German and Namibian governments to speak on the Ovaherero and Noma people's behalf, the losses sustained by the Ovaherero and Noma peoples through Germany's genocide and mass expropriation and the duty to undertake
Sorry,
remedial
Lazarus,
action to come.
could you
Yes.
have a quick look at the presentation and let me know whether you can see the slide you're looking for somewhere?
Yes. Okay, you.
Can you see it?
Okay, just go ahead. Just go ahead.
Okay, better. Yeah, okay.
Just go ahead.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened because Nandi and them sent it over to you. My slide was actually starting from the 13th page, 12th, from the 12th page to the 27th. It seems to me this is probably the first submission that they have submitted. We have corrected and added some to the initial.
Okay, if you have the presentation, you could send it over to my private email address, which I have sent to you. And otherwise, I would suggest that you just present without the slides for now,
Okay.
so that we don't keep the
Okay.
audience
I will
waiting.
ask in the meantime that my colleague Nandi. Can he please forward you that original the my slides? Here you have it.
Yeah, that would be great if someone could send it to me.
Okay, he will send it in the meantime. I will present her.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Nandi. And yes, please go ahead, Lazarus. The floor is yours.
Okay, did you get it? Okay, now I'll go on with the first slide, which is in light of the current poster of the New York action, which everybody knows by now that was dismissed on technical grounds and jurisdictional issues, and the continued rejection and the unanswered pleas on the German and Namibian governments,
It has been ignored so far, the moral, political, and legal incapacity of the Yemen and Namibian governments to speak on the Ovaherero and Nama people's behalf, the losses sustained by the Ovaherero and Nama peoples through Germany's genocide and mass expropriation, and the duty to undertake remedial action to compensate the same and their traditional authorities, and Germany's blatant violation of petitioners' rights as representatives of indigenous people under the declaration, under Resolution 33/12 of the Human Rights Council, the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous People is mandated to A, formulate recommendations and proposals on appropriate measures and activities to remedy violations of the rights of indigenous peoples. And this is what we consider invoking. Given the gravity, urgency, and scope of these matters, the Special Rapporteur must initiate and convene expert consultations to address this issue of outstanding importance and in international human rights and justice. We consider invoking our rights to the fair procedures established by the Human Rights Council for the solution of this dispute under Article 40 of the Declaration, which states that indigenous peoples have the right to access to and prompt decision through just and fair procedures for the resolution of conflicts and disputes with states or other parties, as well as to effective remedies for all infringements of their individual and collective rights. The Special Rapporteur must exercise its mandate by A, initiating expert consultations for preparation of an advisory opinion, B, formulating a remedial proposal, C, publishing an alert on Germany's violation of the declaration, and D, issuing communications and hosting a dialogue. In the exercise of their mandates, the special procedures of the Human Rights Council are authorized to initiate expert consultations. Such authority is fundamental to exercising the prerogatives of the Special Procedures Code of Conduct, seeking to establish the facts based on objective, reliable information and evaluating all information in the light.
Latush, just hang on for a second. I think your internet connection is not stable at this point. Can you maybe like?
I think it's true of the African that attempted to defend his action or force and argued were fully in accordance with the right by which it could have permissibly sought to exterminate the Valero and Namas, a recommitment to the extermination orders themselves. We wrongly believe that the German government would have the egalitarian wisdom to recognize that the extermination orders were obvious and clear violations of law. Not only has the German government failed to apologize for its extermination campaigns, but it has re-embraced the founding document of the same. Germany's position thus rests upon a puzzling contradiction. On the one hand, Germany argued in court in 2018 that it did absolutely nothing wrong and that its genocidal campaigns were fully and in conformity with law. But on the other hand, the Yemen Foreign Office and the Yemen federal government publicly expressed, announced, and admitted in 2015 and 2016, I quote, the war of extermination in Namibia from 1904 to 1908 was a war crime and genocide, unquote. Now, the question is, what is a war without a violation of international law? A crime is a breach or violation of some public right or duty. Here, the same crime was the German government's violation of the customary international legal prohibition on genocide that protected the peoples and tribes of the world as of mid-19th century. This about the breed. Words of annihilation and extermination against peoples and tribes capable of life and culture are violations of international law, according to Brunsley reading of 1868. It's a quotation from his writings, and it is simply ignored. These were human rights belonging to all civilized peoples that had long been recognized under the customary international law, regardless whether they left rule of nation states or tribal authorities. It was the same to as long as they were regarded as human beings. What Germany fails to comprehend both then and now is that the Ovaherero and Nama were and are civilized peoples and not savages that can be slaughtered at will. What we consider to be looked into is expert consultation on these questions, supported further by the right of Ovaherero and Nama peoples to know what happened and to learn the truth of Germany's human rights abuses against their parents and grandparents. The right to truth entails a duty of the state to clarify and disclose the truth on gross human rights violations, not only victims and their relatives, but also to society as a whole. The mandate holders of the special procedures, the expert mechanism and the permanent forum exercise their mandates in organizing independent and impartial expert consultation to address this question of law through issuance of an advisory opinion. Should the expert consultation to be convened for any reason, or should such expert consultation fail to answer the question presented for any reason, then the Nama and Ovaherero people must request the president and vice president of the trusteeship council to exercise the council's authority to seek an advisory opinion on the question presented from the International Court of Justice. We must also request the mandate holders of the special procedure, the expert mechanism and permanent forum to support the obtaining of such relief from the trusteeship council. Under Article 77, Sub-Article 1, Sub-A of the Charter of the United Nations, Trusteeship Council's authority extends to all territories held under mandates established by the League of Nations after the First World War. This includes the former protectorate of German Southwest Africa, which was governed as a Class C mandate by the Union of South Africa. That Class C mandate was revoked by the General Assembly in 1966, following the Union's refusal to transfer its mandate to a trusteeship agreement of Resolution 2145 in October 27, 1966. From 1966 until Namibia's independence on March 21st, Southwest Africa fell under the responsibility of the United Nations until Namibia was born from the ashes of nearly 90 years of colonial rule. Now, the Trusteeship Council's duty to supervise and safeguard the rights and well-being of the Ovaherero and Nama peoples thus continues today, and the matters discussed herein fall directly under the Council's continuing mandate, authority, and commission enshrined in the chapters of the Charter of the United Nations. See, you are getting on to, yes. Trusteeship Council to tender the question presented to the International Court of Justice under Article 96, Sub-Article 2 of the Charter of the United Nations. I'm not sure if I got the question correct, or was it a question to me? But I'm proceeding. The matter presented for advisory opinion are of great significance to the Ovaherero Nama peoples, and submission of this question to the International Court of Justice would be a proper and prudent exercise of the Council's mandate. The Ovaherero and Nama peoples deserve a ruling on the question presented. Ruprecht, Poland's Germany's special envoy, has admitted the Yemen government's liability on numerous occasions. The special envoy was recently quoted, and I quote, satisfy our historic responsibility with substantial sums, with his words, unquote. This begs the question, how can the German government even understand what is historic responsibility, what it entails, without speaking to, let alone listening to, the lawful representatives of the men and women to whom it owes that responsibility? International law recognizes that the rights it protects have no value and are thus not truly rights per se if their infringement has no remedy. Thus, the breach of international legal obligations and violation of human rights of civilians, their persons and their property, gives rise to a correlative obligation to remedy such wrongful act. Yes. Next slide. Without a remedy, a remedial framework providing, let me just get back to the next slide, previous slide, please. That starts with how the remedy, the traditional authorities in the Wairoa and Nama communities and peoples that they represent in Namibia and the diaspora, the one that you have, I have already passed that one. Ruprecht, Poland's Germany's special envoy, has admitted the government's liability on numerous occasions. As I said, the special envoy has recently quoted, and I quote, we will satisfy our historic responsibility with substantial sums. Now, this begs the question, how can the Yemen government even understand what its historic responsibility entails without speaking to, let alone listening to, the lawful representatives of the men and women to whom it owes that responsibility? International law recognizes that the rights it protects have no value and are thus not truly rights per se if their infringement has no remedy. Thus, the breach of international legal obligations and violations of human rights of civilians, their persons and their property gives rise to a correlative obligation to remedy such wrongful act. Without a remedy, the traditional authorities in the Ovahiroro and Nama communities and peoples in the diaspora of Namibia and the diaspora will continue to suffer the direct consequences of Germany's violation of international law that remain unremediated to this day. Germany's actions in Southwest Africa had both the aim and effect of depriving the Ovahiroro and Nama peoples of their integrity as distinct peoples, dispossessing them of their lands, and replacing Ovahiroro and Nama population with Yemen populations through forced population transfer. Undoubtedly, the Yonosites proceeded under the same theory of Lebensraum that undergirded Germany's general plan, post cleansing campaigns in Eastern Europe during World War II, exterminate Jews, Poles, and Slavs as needed to create a living space for an expansion of the German race. Go to the next slide. It is up to the members of the Ovahiroro and Nama communities in Namibia and in the worldwide diaspora and all to the traditional authorities under their statutory rights to serve as trustees to community trust funds to benefit the communities under Article 18 of the Traditional Authorities Act of 2000, Act number 25 of Namibia. Writing in 1909, Imperial Commissioner for Settlement Paul Rochbach explained that these Article 8 actions were the Yemen government's precise goal. What is that we have reached the goal that we should have had in mind from the start as our native, as to our native and land use policy in this colony, disarming the Hereros and Nama, opening their entire tribal territory for white settlement, dissolving all tribal organizations and transforming their natives from members of once divided nations into a single, as homogeneous as possible servant class. Not only has Germany failed to create an effective mechanism to redress its confiscations, it has failed to create any mechanism at all. It is now up to the Nama and Ovaherero people to take off their destiny, as both government have failed them utterly. Remedial action is therefore required from the International Court of Justice through the United Nations mechanism. Now, the claim of the Namibian government is only government can submit a petition to UN, but they forgot that even during the times of, that was the last slide, yes, so during the time of SWAPO, when they needed access to UN, they used the same articles and the same application for gaining recognition as an authentic representatives of Namibia. So it's not only true that not only governments can do that. I want to conclude there by our catchword that says nothing about us without us. We survived, we exist, we matter, and we shall overcome. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so much, Lazarus. I think we all highly appreciate it, and please do accept my apologies regarding the technical issues from our side. However, I think you have mastered this very well, so thank you so much for your great presentation. I think we can now go on to the Q&A part of the session. We have indeed already received some questions. If you're ready, I would start off, read out the first question to you. So, yeah, to you.
Is that to Lazarus?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone can take it, yes.
But I think this one was originally or intentionally towards Nandi, but any one of you can take it, really. So I'll just read it out and then you can decide, okay? Okay, so Dirk is asking, the primary argument from those individuals supporting the government agreement is that we should not miss this opportunity, as it might be the only chance to attain something from the genocide negotiations. In your view, what are your views regarding this narrative?
My own views is that the struggle of our people is one that began more than 100 years back. You know, no one moment, no one opportunity is the only opportunity for us to, you know, to just settle this question. I don't buy up that argument, actually, because when we started talking about this in post-independence Namibia, we were told that the Germans would never talk. They would never come to any discussion. You know, today we are talking of Germans who have come to a discussion. When our people launched the lawsuit in the American legal system, we were told that the Germans will never go to that American court because they have immunity as a sovereign state. But they did go to that court. So I don't buy the lie, if I should just call a spade a spade. It is not true. It is a gimmick that was especially used by this government, the desperate government on our side here. I remember when we were told that there is a stalemate, that there is no breakthrough and people must rush and conclude things. It was a gimmick that was used by the Namibian government to get their negotiators to conclude this deal. Maybe it's something that the Germans actually told them to tell us here, where they were saying, yeah, the thing, you know, the window might actually close soon because what is likely to come to power in Germany would be extremist elements and right wingers and all these things. It was all a lie, just to get people to rush into a deal that solves nothing, just to get our people to, instead of focusing on still hunting for the kutu, just to get people to settle for the mouse. So I do not, I would never, you know, subscribe to anybody who says, you know, because I know one thing, governments come and go, but causes stay, because for so long as a people whose justice have been denied are there and their voices are there, governments will come and go. You know, I do not know whether it's that our people have a very short memory or what it is, because even in this country, the Boers, you know, who were ruling Namibia, the Afrikaner racists from South Africa who were ruling this country, we were told, you know, that system would never be defeated. They would never talk to anybody to surrender power. But times, you know, and they did talk, and change did come to our country. So this is why we say this is a transgenerational struggle for us. It started off with our forebearers. They transferred the struggle to our parents to do our part. Let the government of Angela Merkel and the government of Dr. Hage Geingob retire. Other governments will come, and those who come after us will continue to talk to those governments, and justice will be served. It might not be in our lifetimes, but it certainly shall be served. So we will never subscribe to these, you know, silly notions of this is the only opportunity, as if the German state is going to cease to be there. It will be there. There will always be a German state, and our people will always be there on this side. And so for so long as these two, you know, sides of the equation are there, the question of settling this question would always be there. And so I don't believe in that. And so do our people. We just see it as a gimmick to have us settle for a mouse settlement, which is what they wanted under paragraph 20, when they were saying this is the last discussion and these are the final settlements. We don't buy it. They can sign that with the Namibian government. That is not representative of us, because we reject the whole lousy argument of saying, you know, as a people, we cannot have a conversation with the state. It is not true. The German state under Konrad Adenauer did speak to Jewish groups. Of course, there were those who were under the state of Israel. They negotiated directly with the state of Israel for those Jews in Israel. But for the Jews of the world who could not be grouped under a particular state, they assembled themselves into the Conference of Claims, and they signed Protocol 2 with the state of Germany. And so we are here to speak for ourselves, and we define those times ourselves. Nobody can rush us into things by, you know, dangling this thing, or this is the only opportunity. If it is the only opportunity, may I say, it is an opportunity that presents nothing, you know, palatable to us. Let it pass. Other opportunities will come. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the answer. I think it has been very enlightening and very strong. So Seema just posted into the chat that she would also like to say something. And Lazarus, if you have anything to add, you're of course also very welcome to come in. So Seema or Lazarus, whoever still wants to add something on this very question, please go ahead. And otherwise, I will then continue with the next question.
My contribution is not so much on what was asked just now, but just on the way forward. I think it's important to understand that we wrongfully believed that the German government have, you know, the egalitarian wisdom to recognize that the extermination orders were very obvious and very clear violence of law. We also thought, because of the 2006 resolution that was passed in the Namibian parliament, that the Namibian government, through this resolution, would support its citizens to request for justice and to fight for justice and to have this recognized as a genocide, and therefore to recognize that under international law, we are owed reparations. But as things have unfolded, it has become very clear that both governments have failed us. The Namibian government has insisted that it is going to be the chief negotiator. The Namibian government has been asked from time to time to recognize us as the chief negotiators, but it has refused to do so. So it seems as if we cannot count on our own government to do something about this. So how do we move forward? I think this is the important issue that we need to look at. How do we move forward, and what are the options that are open to us? Now, one of the arguments that I want to propose, that, you know, there is this popular belief that only a sovereign country can take another sovereign country to the International Court of Justice. But I think there's a fallacy in this in this thinking, because under Resolution 3312 of the Human Rights Council, the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous People is specifically mandated to formulate recommendations and to formulate proposals on appropriate measures that can be taken to remedy violations of rights of Indigenous people. And I think it is time for us to start invoking this, right that we are guaranteed, and approach the Special Rapporteur and to say, you have the mandate to protect us, because it is very clear that our government is not going to protect us. And it is very clear that the German government is not willing to admit that a genocide was committed. And therefore, I think, given the gravity of the issue and given the urgency of the issue, and also given the scope of what it is that we are dealing with, the Special Rapporteur must initiate and convene an expert consultation to address the issue, because it is an issue of international rights, and it is an issue of justice. And therefore, I think it's very important for us to invoke our right to these fair procedures. Now, I also equally think that if it should be that the Special Rapporteur and the expert consultations cannot be convened for whatever reason, then I think that the Nama and Ovaherero people must request the Trusteeship Council of the UN. We must request the Trusteeship Council of the UN to exercise its authority, the council's authority, to seek an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice. Because we cannot as a Nama and Ovaherero people go directly to the International Court of Justice. The Namibian government is not going to do it on our behalf, but I believe that the Trusteeship Council has got the authority to do that and must seek the council's authority so that they can get an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice. I think this is what I want to emphasize. I also want to emphasize that the Ovaherero and Nama people deserve a ruling on the issue. We deserve a ruling. There has to be a ruling. And if the UN if the UN process is serious about its mandate and about its authority, then this is the time for the UN mechanisms to be invoked and to be brought into the question. I think this is just the only contribution I wanted to make. Thank you, Nadja. I hope I was audible enough. I'm not feeling too well, but I just felt that I needed to emphasize that a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sima, for sharing your views and for the great input that you've just given. And I really hope that you will get well very soon. So, but thank you so much for adding that. We will go on with another question we have received. It was actually directed towards Sima, but given the circumstances, I would suggest that perhaps someone else can take it so that you, Sima, don't need to speak again, since it's already a bit of a struggle with your voice. So I will read it out. It appeared in the chat earlier. So here we go. The authors of these writings and drawings were Germans, and they in most cases confused the differences between the actual groups that suffered the genocide. We as brothers who suffered are totally ignoring this fact too, that up to date, we continue to erase the Maurer people who were also killed out. Let us start by giving hunting a correct name. You know, the Maurers were mostly confused with Oberhereros by the German authors of this writing. Is there any one of you who would like to say something to this statement that came out of the audience?
Yes, I could. Can I go? You want to go? Could I?
Yes, I can hear you. You can go on.
Yes. I think it's really unfortunate that this issue continue to crop into the discussion every time we are talking about genocide. And I think partly there are other forces also behind it who, you know, it's somewhat part of also the strategy to Namibianize and to wrestle the struggle away from the two people who were targeted. The truth of the matter, though, is that the Germans knew very well, the colonial government in the territory, they knew very well what they wanted from the territory. They knew who the people were who they wanted these things from. They wanted land. The rich land that they wanted largely was in the hands of the two groups, the Namas and the Hereros. And even up to present day Namibia, if you are looking at, you know, the riches of this country in terms of minerals and other things, that continues to be in central and southern Namibia. It's not found elsewhere, largely. So they knew that they wanted these things from the Hereros and the Namas. But also they knew that they wanted Herero cattle. So I don't buy the argument that Germans who have left amongst these people for a number of years before the breakout of hostilities in 1904 and 1907, I don't buy the argument that they didn't know who they were dealing with. They were signing protectorates, you know, agreements with particular chiefs, you know, and how could they not have known who these people are? They have left amongst them for a while. And so I don't buy it. But let me also say one thing. I think earlier on, I spoke of a Herero Traditional Authority and Nama Traditional Leaders Association as the two legitimate bodies representing those two groupings. And so when we speak, we can only speak for our communities, you know, because I get the feeling that perhaps some other groupings in this country would want us to speak for them. No, we have no authority to speak for them. We only have the authority to speak for ourselves and to tell our story. And our story is one that aligns perfectly with the definition of genocide as a crime, because it has certain conditions that you must meet. One of them is that you must have publicly proclaimed intent to destroy in whole or in part. If the colleagues in the other groupings, and we are not denying or confirming anything, if they have that declaration, if any other group in this country outside the Hereros and the Namas can produce an extermination order, which is that proof of intent to destroy in whole or in part. If they can produce that, then of course they would meet the conditions that are defined internationally for the crime of genocide. If not, then they would have to look for remedy under a different, you know, type of crime. It can be a war crime. There are many war crimes. Genocide is a war crime, but it is a specific war crime with certain conditions or certain stipulations. And so when we talk about our genocide case, we are not saying other people were not affected. In fact, there are two broad categories. One is of those who were, and those who were targeted were only the Hereros and the Namas. Of course, there were others in the other category who were also affected, you know, who might have been caught in the crossfire. That nobody denies that. But it is also not our place to talk to that. Let those communities come and speak for themselves. What we talk about is that we are a targeted and affected community. And then we present our evidence. Our evidence is that on the 2nd of October, 1904, there was an extermination order issued against the Herero people, and it was executed. And then April 1905, the same German troopers, the same German government issued a similar extermination order against Nama people. That's what we know from our history. So we have never denied anybody else's suffering. We are just saying, as a people, we are only mandated by our people to speak for ourselves, to tell our history, and to flag the history that the evidence that is in our history, that ours was a classical case of genocide. So honestly, it is not for us to other groupings are at liberty to present their evidence, to speak to their own genocide. And we say it should not be conflated. I mean, being affected or being caught in crossfire, I mean, and being targeted, being, you know, hunted down and singled out. These are two different things. They should not be confused with each other. I think that is all I can say. And thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you so much for the answer. We still have a couple of more questions, so I will directly proceed to the next one. So Nicholas Roy is asking, is there a room for affected communities in the future to negotiate on their own without the involvement of the Namibian government?
Well, that is what Hello. We want. That is what we demand. Because again, we waged this struggle from the very beginning. What we are seeing, the current discussion or the discussions that took place over the last 6-7 years between the Namibian government and the German government did not come because they suddenly decided that they wanted to talk. Somebody has demanded that, and that is us, the targeted enough. And this struggle waged since way back when we left the concentration camps. When we started congregating every year in Okahandja on the 26th of April, at the date of the return or the repatriation of the remains of our second paramount chief as of Herero from Botswana, Samuel Maharero, in 1923, and many other occasions and many other platforms that of Herero and Nama people have had, we have always demanded that justice. And we have said, as the victim communities, we are the ones to define that and to speak for ourselves. So this is why we continue to say it is really to the German government to decide to engage in an exercise in futility. This is an exercise that would not solve the problem that is there. If our two people who met in history and of course are now, locked in because we share that history. I'm talking about now the descendants of Obairo and Nama, people on the one side, and the German and perhaps also the Afrikaner, the descendants of those settlers who continues to live in Namibia on those pieces of land, enjoying all these riches that were stolen from us. If ever we are to, have harmonious relationships, deal with what is truly a strained relationship between our two people, it is important that we have a direct, conversation, that we eliminate all the in-betweens and talk to each other. So that really is what we ask for. And as of Ahere and Nama people, through our leadership, we've been ready for that conversation. We were ready when through the leader of the Ovaherero, then who doubled as president of Nudo Party, the late Paramount Chief Kwame Ruwa'ko in 2006, when he took the motion to parliament, which became that famous parliamentary motion, we knew what we wanted. And that is why we said the government of Namibia must be involved as an interested party. But the two communities that were affected and the German state which wronged them and which looted from them and which then later on transferred wealth that should have been transferred to, to descendants of the victims or to future Herero and Nama communities. It is the German state that transferred that wealth to descendants of its settlers in Namibia. We have said that conversation must be had between those two groupings, because you can't wrong somebody and then have somebody in between to speak for that somebody and also to transfer apologies and all these kind of things. It's just not practical. So this is why we're saying where we are at, we've been here before. The Germans, after Minister Zulek visited Namibia, came up with what was called the German Special Initiative. It came to nothing. You are about to waste your money once more by engaging in this new exercise, which will neither produce justice for the victim communities and nor give you, closure. It's just money that will be spent unnecessarily. And this is why we're saying we stand ready to engage with the German authorities, and we have our own structures. If the Namibian government wants to speak on our behalf, it must come to us first and ask that permission from us. Often the governing majority, SWAPO, again, as I said, it goes to elections. It never talks about this issue. It's not important to them. It's just shocking where they want to talk to it, to it now, suddenly that there is a smell of money, should I put it that way. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the answer. Just for future references, maybe it would be good to keep the next answers a little bit shorter, because we are almost about to exceed the time limit. So just maybe for the next two questions, I would appreciate it if you could
Quickly. Najat, can I quickly sum up to where these questions comes from? I mean, behind the questions also, seems as if Namibian government in somehow is succeeding by they are working hard to create uncertainty as in reverse psychology, to make people act out of fear of uncertainty or uncertainty. That is why they say the things that they say, like the missed opportunity and stuff like that. That is just to create a reverse act from the community because of them not knowing exactly where we stand. I mean, looking at the question of the German situation, German uncertainty about not knowing, they know that And everybody knows that it's a common outcome that there will be a collateral damage wherever war is staged. And there is consequences that result normally in collateral damage. So that is secondary to this case. And we as correctly pointed out, Bernardi, are not at that level. We are at the primary level of this. And that's what we are dealing with.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for adding that. Since we have now touched upon the relationship between the Namibian government and the Herero Dinama and the Damara, as well as the question of money that is to be spent towards the Namibian government by the German government, I would now like to ask a question from a German student who is writing an essay about the genocide from 1904 till 1908. So he or she is wondering, how do you think your government will use the money from the settlement, because he or she doesn't know about the relationship between the Namibian government and the Herero and the Nama and the Mara. So yeah, if you could just answer the question quickly on how would you think, well, the Namibian government will use the money for that they will receive from Germany?
Well, if I can, I think we cannot predict the future, but we can only tell, you know, based on our experience. And our experience is that, like I said, this is not the first German program in Namibia. We had what was called the German Special Initiative. That money never got to us. So from that experience, we can then perfectly deduce that this money too will never come to us. And we can tell from the way it's designed, even the language of the joint declaration. For instance, apparently there are 7 regions that are targeted in terms should this agreement come to fruition and implementation begins in earnest. We are told this will happen in 7 regions. Now, if you go to those regions, it is true that a region, for instance, like Omaheke, Oshodonjupa, Karas, Hardap, it is an Erongo. It is true that these are historically Herero and Nama majority regions. But today it is not the case. The mobility of people that has happened in the post-independence era, we have seen mostly northern communities, you know, move into these regions, and today they are the majority in those regions. Even in our historically, you know, led regions. And so if you take a region like Oshodonjupa, historically it had the Herero people as the majority. But today, they are not. So if you really are genuine about targeting those communities, you would not speak of implementation region-wise. You would tease them out in the little pockets where they are found. In Oshodonjupa, for those who are familiar with Namibia, you would say if you are looking for Hereros, you go to Okoshituo, Okakarara, Okonjatu, Ovitoto, Okamatapati, Gam and so forth. Maheke, you go to Epukiro, Oshombinda, Aminius, and so forth. And it's the same on the Nama side. There are pockets, Batsepa, Horkanas, you know, not the whole region, because we know that once things are done region-wide, then it is the political leadership, you know, that decides. And often it is that political leadership in our regions that has deprived us of opportunities and all of that. You go to Erongo, for instance, Hereros are only found in Maruru and Oshimbingwe, and then the Nama people are just along the Kwesab River. Otherwise, the region is up to probably 60-70% majority northern communities that are seated in Walfish Bay, and all those are urban centers. But you are told or even in commerce. Our two groupings probably constitute less than 10% of the population of the commerce region. But we are told this is also a targeted region and there will be things done for us. So the straight answer is that based on the history that we know, based on our own interaction with this government, we know that very little, if at all, anything will come to us. The rest will go to where it has always been going. And because also the projects are to be implemented, I read in the language of the joint declaration, it says equal opportunities and all of that. It looks like also some of it will go back to Germany. Maybe there will be German consultants and all of this, you know, brought in. And so some of the money is actually put in an agreement for Germans. You know, it's put in this agreement, but it's really meant for Germans. So that's our take of it. We don't see us getting anything out of this agreement. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the answer. And looking at the time frame, I will now only ask one last question. So Rudolf has been asking, is there a possibility to take the German government to court?
Are you with me? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, on your first question, let me just briefly say that the current demographics actually makes it difficult to be specific without ourselves determining how money should be applied. And that decision is actually a critical decision how that should be done. And those are the reasons behind our rejection because of our absence from the discussion from the negotiation. Now, insofar as the next question is concerned, I think I'll pass it on to my colleague for him to start off.
Nandi? Which is that question? Is it the question about the possibility of taking Germany to court?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, as far as we are concerned, we are not taking any option off the table because we are a people who were wronged in our own space. My late chief used to say, we'll fight to hell and back. So we've been to the American legal system. We have not fully exhausted the Namibian legal route. We have not fully exhausted the German legal route. So all the options for us are on the table. But I think before we go there is wisdom for the German government, which has now come to the realization that there is talking and there is sense in talking, you know, because it did talk to the Namibian government. So all it needs to do is just to talk to the right people, and those people are us. So honestly, my view is that talking, they have been talking. So let them just be told or advised to the right people to talk to. There would be no need for us to go that route if we all choose not to waste each other's time and resources and just engage in a genuine, frank conversation around putting finality to this question that unless it's handled that way, will not go away. You know, so I think yes, that possibility is there. Until justice is done, we are not going anywhere else. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your answers. And if I may actually personally also dive into the answer of this question, as far as I'm aware, from a legal perspective, indeed, it would be an option to sue Germany at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. However, as Sima mentioned before, technically, as far as I'm aware, please correct me if I'm wrong, only a state is entitled to sue another nation state, which unfortunately will probably not be the case from the Namibian state side of things. So this is basically the legal option. But yeah, as Sima mentioned before, perhaps there can be found some ways around it, so to say. So I just
if I could
to
come in there, Naja.
Yes, please go ahead.
If I could also just come in there, even on that proposition of only a state can do that. Who says the Namibian state will forever be controlled by the SOPO government that refuses to listen to us? Perhaps there comes a time too when a government that is friendly to our cause will ascend to power and will take the Germans to that court. This is why, again, we go back to that argument of we don't buy this argument of now is the opportunity, you must take it or leave, or you know, even if you don't see any good in it. Governments comes and go. The people remain. We will always be here. If we are not here, our children will be here. You know, the way, by the way, most of these liberation movements are on the way out anyway. In countries like Zambia, some of them ruled for 30 years, 40 years, and then they were kicked out. Just a few weeks back, they installed a leader who was in opposition politics. So things can change. Even here in Namibia, yes, we have a government that is hostile to our interest, but nobody says it is a government in perpetuity. It will go too, just like all governments comes and go. And a new government will come, just like in Germany. The era of Angela Merkel is ending. A new government will come to power. And so we are in this for the long haul. For so long as justice is not delivered to our people, we will continue to be knocking on that door, on every other door. Yeah? Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. So I think we can call it a day for tonight. Thank you so much to all the people in the audience for listening and for having been present tonight. And very special thanks to those who have presented tonight. I think I speak for all of us when I can say that I highly appreciate it and that I'm very grateful that you're using your personal time to educate all of us regarding this matter. And indeed, as someone has posted in the chat, you have made everybody proud. So I just also want to add that if there's anyone in the audience who has been asking questions which we didn't get the chance to answer yet, you can always email us. I will post my email address into the chat now. But I think we have asked, we have answered all the questions. And yeah, so once again, thank you so much, everybody. There will be one last online session next week, same time, same place. So there will be a new Zoom link, but it will be on Wednesday again at 7 p.m. again, and it will be the final online session of this online event series. So we are looking forward to welcoming you next week again, as we hope, and we wish you a pleasant evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Naja. And thank you to our people. It is now for us to take charge of our destiny. Thank you.